Hey, this is Brendan Gersall from King's Church. Thanks so much for tuning in to our podcast. I pray this message you're about to hear empowers you, encourages you, challenges you, and equips you to live the life that Jesus has for you. Thanks for tuning in.
I'm in an ancient city in Turkey, not too far from Ephesus, where Paul wrote to the Ephesian church in chapter 6 of Ephesians. Beginning in verse 10, he said, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything else, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests."
Well, it's so good to be back home. My wife and I have been on the road for about 6 weeks in five different countries, and I filmed that at an ancient city called Termosis in Turkey on Monday, and I thought, with this backdrop, why wouldn't I like read the scripture here, where it's kind of aimed at, so it's great to be with you this morning and to be able to share out of Ephesians, to kind of close out the last chapter of Ephesians, gearing up for King's Academy this August and heading into the fall. And if you have any, we're having an interest night this Wednesday. I'd love for you to come out or just talk to me personally if you have any interest at all. We're trying to identify some leaders and some people who are looking for like further biblical training. And so I'm a little jet-lagged today, but I will make a deal with you. Like, I will do my best to be as energetic as possible if you will do your best to like to listen really like actively. And so our scripture today it began with finally, okay, which is Paul's way of saying like, listen up, this is really important. What I'm about to share with you in Ephesians 6:10 is really important. And he starts out by saying like, be strong in the Lord. And so it's God's will for us to be strong, not in ourselves, but to be strong in our faith and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so so the title of the message today is When the Day of Evil Comes. And it's about standing our ground when we face that day of evil that's mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6. And what I've found in life is in one form or another, we have good days and we have bad days. We have easy days, we have tough days. And all of us in our lives, we're all going to face a day of evil, a day that seems kind of overwhelming, kind of like too much, kind of like I don't know if I can handle this. And it comes in a lot of different forms. Sometimes it can come in the form of sickness, and all of a sudden it's just like you get this diagnosis, and suddenly your whole world turns upside down, and you're facing that and trying to figure out what to do with it. It can come in the form of like conflict in our relationships, misunderstandings with one another. It can come in the form of addiction, or doubt, or fear, or shame, or injustice. And so I'm not In Ephesians 6, I'm not just talking about the consequences of making bad decisions. You know, sometimes we just make bad decisions and the consequences of those kind of play themselves out. But the Bible says there is a real enemy of our souls. And his name is Satan, and he's real. And the day of evil is like a spiritual attack from the enemy. It's an assault that's kind of coming from all sides, and it hits us hard, and it's fairly overwhelming. And what the enemy is trying to do is trying to knock us off of our feet spiritually. And Ephesians 6 tells us, in the day of evil, when the day of evil comes, when we're facing that day, our goal is just to plant our feet like firmly in the Word of God and to stand, to be able to stand under the weight of whatever it is that is coming our way. And so just a few introductory kind of thoughts as we look at the Scripture. The first thing is that there is a spiritual war going on. There is a battle for souls. Spiritual warfare is real. And in wartime, people live differently. They have different expectations. There's in wartime, there is a higher purpose than comfort. And we think more communally. In wartime, we think of the group that we're part of. In wartime, you dress differently, and we're going to talk about that with the full armor of God in a minute. In wartime, the priority is to be prepared. It's not necessarily to just be chill and to be relaxed, but it's to be prepared. And the Bible tells us that to be alert because the enemy of our soul, Satan, wanders around like a roaring lion looking who he can devour. And in wartime, cruise boats kind of get repurposed and they become battleships. So stuff that may have had one purpose is kind of repurposed for a higher purpose. And in wartime, it's kind of like everybody joins the fight. Everybody becomes a soldier, not just a civilian. And so in wartime, we're kind of called to put the kingdom first and our own stuff second. In 1 Peter 4:12, Peter puts it this way: "Dear friends, don't be surprised about the fiery trials that have come among you to test you as if something unusual were happening to you." And we live in a culture, right, where even in church culture, if we experience difficulty or trials, it's kind of like, whoa, I wasn't expecting this. What is going on? And the Bible tells us that, it's not something unusual. If you're a Christian and you feel under attack, that is not an unusual thing, because there is a war going on. And so I pulled up a couple. AI is a wonderful thing, and I pulled up a couple of pictures, kind of using my own face. But it's like not the first one, okay? It's not that. It's the second one. It's being like being ready for war. And don't you love AI? Don't you love what you can do on your phone? No, don't you love what you can do on your phone these days? So we're going to talk about the full armor of God. And one of the dangers of like a scripture like this is you're kind of like, man, I went to Sunday school. They had flannel graph. They had all the stuff. So like, I already know about all that, but we know about it like at a kid's, you know, that kind of understanding, that kind of level. And so we can kind of tune out when it's a familiar scripture. But I want to talk about like the full armor of God, what it means for us today. And so I brought, I had a friend who just, I have weird friends. I have a friend who's just like, I was like, you wouldn't have to have like a full suit of armor, would you? He's like, yeah, I got that, you know. And so, I've got all this stuff here, the full armor of God, and it doesn't, to be honest, like it doesn't look comfortable. Like if I was going to the beach, I wouldn't be putting this on. But you know, if somebody was swinging a sword at me, that's what I would want to have on. And so, so we're going to talk about the full armor of God, and it's not comfortable sounding, but it's effective when we're fighting the enemy. And so Paul was writing to Ephesus, and the word Ephesus literally means desirable. It was a desirable place. So it's basically like Ephesus was like the California of the Middle East. Like it was a very desirable place to live. It's beautiful there, and there were roads going out to like all kinds of other places. So it was the center of a lot of things. Very, very influential, but also very immoral. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound at all like the culture we live in? Very rich and influential, but also a lot of immorality going on. And their own philosopher, Heraclitus, said, no one could live in Ephesus and not weep over its immorality. And so Ephesus was a place that was known. Part of their worship of Artemis was temple prostitution. When Paul went there to tell them the truth, he caused a riot because they got upset about how he was going to interrupt the idol worship that was going on there. And so Ephesus was a place with a lot of spiritual action going on. And so Paul says, you know, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, and you know, and be ready to stand. The word stand is mentioned there four or five times in the scripture, and Paul tells us how to stand. How do you take your stand when the day of evil comes? And so he starts off with the belt of truth that you put around your waist. And I don't know if you've ever I used to do a lot of inner city ministry. And I'd always be in these places where there was all kinds of gangsters hanging on the corner, and it was like, I don't know if they still do this, but they had like the pants they wore like really low, like ridiculously low, and I always had this thought, like, okay, if you're a gangster, you fight people. How do you fight people with your pants down here? Like, how does that work? And then I was like, You need to pull your pants up and get a belt, right? Like, because belts hold things in place and kind of keep things together. And the belt of truth, truth is described as a belt that kind of goes around the waist and protects the internal organs and it's described as truth, and it may be particularly geared towards like emotional or relational truth, what we believe about ourselves. And Satan is the father of lies, and Jesus is the truth. And so a lot of the battles, that the spiritual battles that happen in our lives and in our culture, it's really a battle in the mind over truth, over what is true and what isn't. And truth sets us free, and lies they enslave us. They tie us up, and they enslave us. And so as Christians, it's absolutely essential that we learn to distinguish between the voice of the world and Satan's voice and God's voice, and know what the truth is. And so we've got to wear the belt of truth. And then it goes on to talk about the breastplate of righteousness. And this is like heavy stuff that would cover the area like around here to obviously if you're being attacked, the heart is like a major a major organ that's going to be attacked, because you can shut everything down if you can get the heart. And we live in a culture that wants to live wrong but have everything turn out right, and that's just not possible. And so the breastplate of righteousness is talking about, righteousness simply means right living. It means like taking the word of God, the truth, and applying it, and just making a decision like, I am going to do the right thing. I am going to live right. And what I've found in my life is that right living actually protects us. It protects us from a lot of heartbreak and emotional pain. Like, God knows what He's talking about. He has designed us. And when we live according to His word and His ways, like, life really works, and sin doesn't. Sin just, like, at its... the bottom line is, like, sin may look like fun for a season, but it's not sustainable. It doesn't really work. It always causes destruction. It always makes life complicated. And believe me, like, I grew up a pagan, okay? Like, I grew up, like, for the first 24 years of my life, like, I just did not go to church at all. And I had, like, nothing to do with church or God or anything like that until I had one of those, like, Jesus, like, knocked me off my horse, like, Apostle Paul moments, and I kind of did a 180. But I've tried both ways of living, and God's way of living works. It really does. And so the breastplate of righteousness is, you know, much of our trouble comes from, like, leaving little doors open to Satan. And I don't know if you've ever had like a salesperson or somebody, like, trying to get into your house that you don't really want into your house. And you're, like, you're at the door, and you've got to crack, and you're talking to them, but you really don't want them to come in, but they somehow get, like, their foot in the door. Or they get, like, a little, like, and then it's really hard to shut the door and get rid of them. And when we give Satan a foothold, when we just leave those little cracks, when we give Satan a foothold in our life, he can get in there, and those turn into strongholds. And when something is a stronghold, like, when you're tempted and then you give in and you sin, and once something becomes like a stronghold, then you need external help to break it, because it's gone from being a foothold to being a stronghold. And so the breastplate of righteousness is just that decision that, like, I'm gonna do the right thing. I'm gonna make the right choices and do the right thing. And then we have the gospel shoes, the gospel boots. Now, my friend didn't have any Roman boots, so these are just Timberlands, to be honest. Okay, these are just, if you're going into battle, like, flip flops and slippers aren't going to do you any good. Like, you gotta, like, I did. We did a lot of hiking this summer. Because we visited some of our kids, and they really like to hike, and you gotta have the right footwear. If you don't have the right, if you're, like, going down the side of cliffs in flip flops, you're in trouble. Like, you gotta have the right footwear, and you kind of gotta be ready to go. This is about walking in God's will. That's right. Like, it's the gospel shoes that bring peace. God's will is not easy, but being at the center of God's will, even if a lot of stuff is swirling around, can be peaceful. And so one of the places that I was at this summer was in Africa, just outside of Nairobi. There is a large slum called Gibera. It is the largest slum in Africa, and it is one of the largest slums in the whole world. There are 1.5 million people all crammed in to these very, very poor conditions in a 5-mile radius. It's probably some of the most intense, extreme poverty that I've ever seen, like face to face, and been in. And so the ministry we're working with there, they were like taking us around, visiting different people, and taking food to them and praying for them and doing that kind of stuff. And we'd be walking in these like little dark alleyways, and there'd be like open sewers running through the alleyways, and you had to simultaneously like look down and be careful where you were stepping, but you also had to like keep your wits about you up here because there was a lot, everything was made out of like out of tin, and there were like sharp edges of roofs like at head level, and you know, it was a really, really interesting place to like to walk. But you know what? Like out of all the places we were this summer, and some of them were really nice vacation places. Colleen and I, like we discussed this yesterday, like what was your favorite place out of the whole summer? Kibera, the slum. Do you know why? Because we were walking with Jesus there. We had our gospel boots on, and we were doing ministry, and we were walking with Jesus. And there was just a great sense of meaning and purpose, like in peace, in our 10 days in Kibera. There were two young men. They're in their mid-30s, Kepha and Nico. They've started a ministry there. They grew up in Kibera. Kepha grew up with a single mom. There were seven kids in his family. He grew up very poor. He knew Nico since they were in grade one. They decided when they were like in grade school, the two of them decided together, we're going to be different than everything that's going on around us. We are going to live our lives for Jesus. And Jesus blessed their lives. And they actually got enough education and enough money to get out of Kibera. But then the Lord called them back. And now they were on a foundation there, like helping hundreds and hundreds of people to get out of extreme poverty. And when I look at people like Kepha and Nico, they're heroes. They're heroes to me. And I look at them and I'm like, they've got their priorities straight. They've got their gospel shoes on. And then there is the shield of faith. Now, a shield is kind of to block things. And the shield of faith, it talks about the fiery darts of the enemy, the fiery darts that Satan shoots at us in our spiritual lives. They can be arrows of doubt. They can be arrows of fear or condemnation or shame. And like faith is like a shield. If you're shooting things at me and I have a shield, I can block them so they don't hit me and hurt me. And faith is like that. Our faith protects us so that the things that hit us just kind of like bounce off. I don't know if there's any like old Star Trek fans here. But I grew up like as a kid watching Star Trek on TV in the north end of St. John, and they had this thing they had these things like called the Enterprise called the phaser shields, and like the phaser shields, like when the Klingons and everybody were like shooting at them, if the phaser shields were up, like everything would bounce off. But there was always one moment in every episode where Scotty would say, "Captain, the phaser shields are down," right? And then the Klingons would be shooting, and like everybody would be like the whole ship would be rocking, and he'd be like working to get the phaser shields back up. And faith is like our phaser shield to protect us against Satan. And the stronger we grow in our faith, the more attacks we can withstand. There was an old Pentecostal evangelist at the turn of the 20th century. His name was Smith Wigglesworth, which is a very British name, right? Smith Wigglesworth. So he was a plumber who turned a Christian evangelist. And he was kind of like one of those wild characters. And one of my favorite stories of his is like he's He tells a story where he said, like, I woke up one night and Satan was standing at the foot of my bed. And then somebody said, well, what did you do? And he said, I looked at him and I said, oh, it's only you. And I went back to sleep. And it's like, I love that. Like, that is faith. That is the shield of faith right there. And so we, as we live as Christians, we build up this history with God, right? We build up this history with God where, like, he comes through again and again and again. And what that does is it builds our faith, and so we learn how to trust him. And then there's the helmet of salvation. And this one has some chain mail to kind of wear around the neck as well. And obviously, this is to protect the head region. And so this is about, like, knowing who God is and who you are in God, and knowing the word and the promises of God, so that our thinking is Christian and not just cultural. And so just as the helmet, like, protects the brain, our identity in Christ helps to protect our thinking. And everybody's heard about IQ, which is our intelligence quotient. And there's been a lot of stuff about EQ, which is our, like, emotional quotient. Those are those people who have like all kinds of emotional intelligence. Like, they just know how to deal with people. My wife scores off the charts in this. Like, when we were in Africa, I swear, she hugged her way around Kenya. Like, she was just making friends with everybody, and they were like, we love Colleen. She is, like, off the charts in the EQ. But there's another thing that Christians have that the world doesn't have. It's called SQ. It's a spiritual quotient. It's having spiritual intelligence. And the Bible tells us that, like, we have access to the mind of Christ. And so when we look at things, we have wisdom that the world does not have and that the world cannot manufacture. When I look at everything going on, when I look at the war going on in the Middle East right now, and I think about the politicians trying to figure this out and handle it, I'm like, you do not have, like, you have IQ and you have EQ, but unless you understand spiritual warfare and spiritual things, there's no way that you can bring any kind of solution to what is going on there. It's way more complicated than that. And as Christians, we have the helmet of salvation. We have access to the mind of Christ, who can give us a wisdom that goes beyond ourselves. And then there is the sword of the Spirit. I was speaking at a big youth rally one time in Cincinnati, and I had about, like, 3,000 teenagers, and I thought this would be a cool illustration. I had a sword like this, and I wanted to illustrate, like, the difference in your life when you're doing your devotions and you're not doing your devotions. And so, like, I was like, are there any middle schoolers in the house? And it was like, I got four or five middle school guys that really wanted to get on stage. And so I was like, okay, like, I'm somebody who's not, like, reading the Bible, and I'm not doing my devotions. Now attack me. And they all ran at me and took me down. And then I was like, okay, go back there. And then they went back to their spot. And, like, then I had this big sword. And I was like, okay, now, like, I'm doing my devotions. I've got the sword of the Spirit. Like, run at me now. And they all ran at me full tilt. And I had this moment. I had this choice. I was like, I'm swinging this sword. And I was like, I either have to kill a middle schooler or totally blow this illustration. So I was like, and then they took me down. So never do an illustration with middle schoolers, okay? Because they're just, like, they're fearless. They just don't care. They will die on the sword. But the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And it can be defensive, but it's also an offensive kind of weapon. And this is how Jesus used it in Matthew when when he's tempted in the desert and Satan attacks him and says, like, turn these stones to bread, Jesus quotes scripture back at Satan, and it's basically like this sword fight that's going on. Like, throw yourself, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself from the highest place. And Jesus says, the Bible says, like, don't test or tempt the Lord your God. And then Satan says, I'll give you like every kingdom that I influence. And Jesus says, the word says, just worship God and God only. And so what's going on there is this spiritual like fight with the sword of the spirit. And so we have to talk back to Satan, and we have to talk back to sin when we're attacked. And the word is like our restraining order against sin and Satan. You can go like, hey, wait a minute. You don't have any right to come around here anymore. Like, the word says you don't have any power over me. And it's kind of like our bill of kingdom rights. When all the promises in the word tell us like what our rights are, like as believers. And so if we try to live each day without the armor of God, it would be like going to war dressed in a Speedo, armed with a feather duster. I did not bring that costume, okay? So don't worry. But like, it's a ridiculous picture, right? But that's what it's like if we're trying to like fend off Satan without the word of God. And so I come to two sides of my family are like the Scottish side, the McNeil clan is from the Isle of Barra, so it's this little island off of Scotland, and they were Scottish pirates. They just lived on an island and robbed everybody. And then the other side of my family is Vikings. Okay, like the Nordstrom side is like Vikings. And so I love this metaphor, okay? Like, I there's something about this, the battle metaphor here, and you know, I've always been a sucker for the, like, any of this. As soon as there's a movie where somebody paints their face blue and picks up a sword, like, I'm in, right? That's just and that's kind of what's going on here, like in a spiritual sense. It's the metaphor of spiritual warfare. And so what does it mean in practical terms? What it means is, like, every day as I get up, like every single day, like, Lord, help me to see the truth today. Help me to see things as they really are, like you see them. Help me to live right. I'm gonna face all kinds of little decisions where I can take shortcuts and do the wrong thing, but help me to do the right thing. Lord, there's all kinds of choices I can make of where I'm going or where I'm not going, but Lord, help me to go where you want me to go today. And Lord, help me to exercise faith, not fear. Help me to think your thoughts so that I know what to do. And help me to use the word, not just the tools of the world that are around me. And so every day as we go through our Christian lives, we just have to have that awareness of God. And it's really easy to get distracted. And it's really easy to just kind of drift through life and to kind of lose our spiritual focus sometimes. And so we need that old, like, St. Patrick prayer, like Christ every day, like Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ inside me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ to my left and to my right. That's what it means to put on the full armor of God. Now, this is a really basic, kind of dumb illustration, but I hope it just solidifies some of the things I've said. There are two cans of Coke. I don't drink Coke. We just happen to have some in the house. So, but two cans of Coke. They look basically the same. One of them is full, and one of them is empty. The one that's empty, you can kind of like it's empty and it's been opened, and so it's really easy to crush. And Satan, like, that's Satan's will for us. He wants to crush us. This can of Coke, it looks the same. It was probably manufactured at the same time in the same place. But this one is filled. It's still full. And it's sealed. And so when I put this one, I could put, like, my full weight on it. And, like, nothing, it'll stand up. It'll stand in the way that the other one won't. Because it's filled and it's sealed. And guess what? As Christians, we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we are sealed by the Spirit. And so when I'm talking about be strong in the Lord, I'm not talking about our own strength. I'm talking about the strength that comes through our connection to God. And that's why Paul kind of ends with the scripture that says, pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers, inspired by the Spirit. And so the key word is in good times and bad times, with thanks, whether it's thanksgiving or petition, we need to live with this awareness of God. We're relying on the Holy Spirit, and being in an attitude, a constant attitude of prayer. And that's what we're going to do today. And so there are some of you right now that you're just having a great summer. You're having an awesome summer, and you're kind of cruising through. Praise God for that. But I also believe that today there are some people here and you are in the middle of some spiritual battles. There are some attacks going on from the enemy in your life. You are living in the day of trouble. And I just want to encourage you today, like, all you need to do is just stand. You need to just stand your ground in that and let God give you the strength that you need to get through that. And so there are some that need the strength to stand as we pray today, the strength to stand. And you may also need somebody to stand with you. There's something about being in the church and being with God's people that there's just something about knowing that somebody is standing with you that gives you, like, you can borrow some of their strength when your strength is weak. And so today, as we pray, the call is particularly for people that would say, like, I feel like I'm under spiritual attack. Like, I feel like the enemy has been assaulting my life, maybe yourself, or maybe somebody, your children, somebody else. But there's a spiritual battle going on, and it's serious. And you just want to say, like, I'm bringing this to God. I'm going to stand and bring it to God, and I'm going to let other people stand with me, and we're gonna pray through this thing. And so Pastor Andy is going to come, and he's gonna pray for us. But I really want to encourage you that if you're in a spiritual battle today, as the prayer teams come up, like, don't just try to handle it on your own. Like, stand, come forward, get in a place of prayer, and we'll bring those things to God because He wants to give us the strength to stand.
Hey, thanks again for listening. If you found this helpful today, why don't you give it a share? If you need prayer or anything, we'd love to help you out with that. Why don't you go to our website at kingschurch.cc. Thanks again.